You're listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. In today's episode, the podcast will take a break from our normal interview format, instead presenting a palate cleanser, where UCB teachers and staff present official UCB news and updates, focus on a specific element of longform improv, and offer experimental one-off episodes. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Hey, this is Orbeek Ngaga, and welcome to the UCB Longform Podcast Conversation. This episode is a palate cleanser, and today we're going to be talking about musical improv, and we're here with three fantastic musical improvisers, and I'll just go ahead and let you guys introduce yourselves.
Hey, I'm Giovanni Lanayo. I'm on Baby Wants Candy, Adele Dazeem, bunch of teams.
Yeah.
at UCB and in the indie scene in LA.
I'm Shilpa Das. I'm on Kaboom Box and a couple of other teams here and there.
Hey, I'm Zach Reno. I'm on Baby Wants Candy, Magic to Do, both at UCB, and then the Off Book Podcast and Murder Cliff as well. Old school rap
old
team.
School. Yeah. Murder Cliff, one of my faves. I already introduced myself, but I'm on an all rap group called Dopetown 3000. Yeah.
Very cool, Zora.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now we ask you questions about Dopetown 3000.
Yeah, so this whole entire conversation is about you guys asking me about the Dopetown 3000. So yeah, why don't we just like we can kind of go around and ask or answer like what got you into musical improv in the first place? Like how did you start? Did you start like in high school? Did you start college? Post grad? When did you start doing musical improv?
I started doing improv in San Diego at a short form theater called National Comedy Theater. Uh-huh. And so there were short musical games like Sing It or like, I don't remember what they all are called, but they're just like little 3 minute things. And those were the most fun that I had. And those were like gimmicky, kind of heavy handed, like with the musical stuff. And we always had to pretend that we were really bad at it and that we hated it and that it was just the hardest thing ever. And I was like, this feels so good. And that was before I was even aware of long form improv. So when I like saw those things come together of long form improv and musical long form, I was like, oh, this is for me. And that's how I started doing that.
Yeah. Sing It. It's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Short form.
Cool. I did high school improv in New York. And was not really aware of the musical improv community until I moved out here a while back. I started watching Diamond Lion, and I saw Magic to Do, and I was like, what is this? What is happening? Because I was doing the long-form classes and also a musician, so the combination of those worlds was very interesting to me, and I didn't want to explore it until like after going through the UCB program so I could really understand improv. And then once I started seeing people do it, I was like, I gotta do this.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's like the funnest thing to see.
Yeah, mine's similar to Giovanni's. There was a short form team at UC Irvine, live nude people with clothes on. and there were musical games. And at the time, like watching Who's Line and stuff, when they do Irish drinking song, they do a couple musical games on there. And that was kind of all that I knew existed. And I think for the most part, even unless you are in like a kind of improv dense city, I think a lot of people don't even realize that this exists as a thing.
Right.
There's like, there's not a lot of it, and there's not a lot of groups that have been doing it for a long time. There's Baby Wants Candy in Chicago and New York, but if you're not in like New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles, well, I guess that's true of a lot of kinds of improv, though. That's not specific to just musical improv. But there, it was definitely one of those things that, like, first, yeah, this has been said already. I was like, oh, long form is a thing. And then I was like, oh, musical long form is a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was sort of similar. I had kind of, like, short form musical improv experience, like, really early on playing, like, Sing It, which I thought was, like, the funnest short form improv game where you're just... at some point it's like the host says sing it and you have to sing whatever. But I think for me, like what I've done the most as far as like hip hop improv or rap improv was just sort of seeing like random groups try to do rap improv in the indie scene and being like, oh, this is like really cool, but I would love to do it. In a way, and sort of like with people that, you know, are like real hip hop fans and stuff. And so I had sort of linked up, or I ended up like just kind of obsessing over the idea of rap improv, and just Googled everything about like rap and improv and YouTube videos. And I ended up finding Lin-Manuel Miranda's group Freestyle Love Supreme on YouTube. And then I found that they had this show on Pivot TV, and it blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, like they're doing this like live form of freestyle rap, and they were like super good. And then I found like this video of Lin-Manuel Miranda talking about writing Hamilton. This was before it came out. And as a history teacher, I was just like, oh my God, this is going to be the greatest thing. And then it was.
I called that shot.
I was like, he's going to get the MacArthur Genius Grant for this.
So specific.
Exactly. Just that was sort of my like deep dive into like being super interested in it in particular, just through the lens of hip hop, just because I've always been such a big hip hop head.
I came to hip hop in improv kind of by accident. I was part of a team that got formed out of a 401 practice group that started doing freestyle rap as just a warm up. And then we were like, this is really fun. Let's do this as part of our show. No one is doing this as far as we could tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how a team of a bunch of white people started doing.
Yeah.
That's how Murder Club happened. And we brought in a lot of people who were not rappers. We didn't bring them in. They were just on that team already. And they were like, yeah, this is fun. We'll do it. And so like varying degrees of like how comfortable or knowledgeable of the genre that team was, and just kind of got like forged in the fire of like, well, we're going to do this. So let's figure out how to do it.
So I'm interested because like, not to take too much of a detour, but Murder Cliff, like in the timeline of like rap improv, there are particular groups that sort of were around and sort of popped up at the same time almost. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Murder Cliff, I think, at least when I started to hear about Murder Cliff or what I know of that group, sort of happened at the same time as North Coast. On the other coast.
I feel like I saw Murder Cliff in like 2013. Is that accurate?
Let me see.
Is that too early?
No, it could have been. So I came, let me do math real quick. Came to the theater in 2009. So it would have been around, Murder Cliff actually would have started at the latest 2011.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking maybe even 2012 because it was like old clubhouse, like that little upstairs room.
Yeah.
For the OG improvisers out there, like
they weren't doing rap that entire time, but it would have been early on in the Murder Cliff career. Mm.
Yeah, because I think North Coast, which has Sean Fisher, who's also in Dubtown 3000, he was the beatboxer for North Coast. I think that sort of sprang about, and again, you guys can fact check me out there on the internet, but I think it was like 2010 and 11. So maybe
it could
like,
have been the same time. Yeah, I didn't hear about North Coast till Douglas Wittick, who I think is one of the founders of that team along with Sean Fisher, came in to do a show in LA and was like, who can do this show with us? And asked members of Murder Cliff to play with them. That's how we met. They're great.
Yeah. And when I mentioned groups that I saw that, you know, weren't like rappers, I do not include Murder Cliff in that. I mean, you guys have bars.
Sometimes. I mean, early on, I think that we could have. I mean, like, that team was practicing and performing like pretty regularly for like 4 years or so, which is long for the half-life of like an indie group.
Yeah.
So you guys stacked the bars before you...
No. Some of the bars were bad before the bars were good. Okay. They were always stupid.
Okay,
but
just to clarify, bars equals rhymes. Just couplets, just like two bars. Or like
I have found with rap improv, maybe more so than musical or just long form, that's the easiest to see like results from when you actually practice.
Sure.
If that makes sense. Like if you're doing a lot of rap reps, no matter like how bad you suck when you start, like you're gonna definitely get better.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if you're not musical and you're tone deaf and you're like, you can't get your voice to sound differently, you know, but you can stack your bars.
You can also tell when someone is not doing it well, as opposed to like in an improv scene, it's like, okay, that choice was weird, but I don't know if they're like, when someone is like messing up rap, it is abundantly clear to everyone.
Yeah.
Well, me and Zach taught a rap workshop in Scotland and to a bunch of high schoolers, and he was talking about like how like delivery is everything, and like, you know, you just like if you like deliver like it's fire, then like it won't matter if you rhyme. And the kids were like absolutely not, no, prove it. And he was like, all right. And so I dropped a beat and Zach like launched into this like ultra confident bravado, zero rhyming, like just verse after verse about like lizards or something.
And it was like true bullshit.
But it was kind of fire. It was like really fun. It got a standing ovation.
That's like a good lesson for life.
It is. And if you listen to just rappers, like in general, it's all about delivery and confidence, you know? I mean, obviously like the good ones have like really complicated, you know,
yeah,
sort of metaphor and stuff like that. But yeah, it's so much of that.
There's like getting away with and like being fun, and then being like actually like really impressive and blowing people's hair back.
Yeah.
The reason I actually suggest that all improvisers should take at least one musical improv class, whether you want to or not, is because nothing will test your confidence on stage like musical improv will. You cannot phone it in. And I feel like If you can give that kind of confidence, whether or not your like content is good, if you can perform it like it is, like you have to, if you really are delivering a song or a rap or whatever,
sure,
that's that will make you a better performer overnight.
Sure,
if you can do that one thing of just like, you have a bad joke but you deliver it like it's a good joke. Everyone knows performers like that who get away with jokes that are not good, just because they sell it so well.
Yeah. Some of my favorite musical improvisers are people that aren't singers. It's not that they just sound great when they're singing songs, but they're so funny and they know what their thing is and they know how to do that in whatever scene they're in. And I love that.
Yeah. And so to steer the conversation a little bit away from rap and improv in particular, what groups have you guys seen or see that sort of inspire you guys or like wow you guys as musical improvisers, just sort of like in the audience? Is there like a particular group or like a set that you remember seeing that just was like, whoa, confidence, like that's how you do it?
I saw this set from the Quickness at Inner Sanctum that was like it was sharp, it was goofy, it was fast, they never stopped rapping, like Dope Town, like, you know, same format of just like rap the entire time. Is just the three of them like beatboxing for themselves and just nonstop rap, and they did like, I don't know, like 20 minutes, and it would just like the energy just like stayed at a level 10 in not an exhausting way, but it was like, it was funny, it was fresh, it was like, I was just like I, you know, that when you just like stop laughing and you're just sitting there just like, and it's funny still, but it's just like, it's just like, it's so much to process just like how much skill is involved in what's happening.
Yeah. It's hard to answer that question because there's so many teams that I love and players that I love in the community that every time I watch them, I'm like, oh man, how's your brain working like that? And it's great. Dope Town's one of my favorite teams. Every time I see Magic to Do or Baby Wants Candy, I'm totally blown away. And actually sometimes seeing teams like that remind me also to just like root back in the simplicity of it, which is just a big long form improv thing, to like not be afraid to let it be simple, and that can be funny.
Sure.
And there are certain like random things that I'll remember from a performance where I'm like, yeah, I can't really still remember that. It's like forever later, and it's still funny to me, and those are the shows I see that I feel like that helps me be a better player because I'm seeing it in someone else.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's tons of teams I love out there.
When I first got to the theater, Shilpa said this earlier, but Diamond Lion still had a show.
Yeah.
Diamond Lion is and was a phenomenal, phenomenal musical improv team. And I saw one of the members, Eliza Skinner, who was used to teach the musical improv course out here, was who I first took it with, and she's just insanely good. She was on a two-person team with someone whose name I cannot remember, I'm sorry, called I Eat Pandas, that did a set that like blew me away. And the first time I saw Baby Wants Candy was in Edinburgh when I had been brought up to do the tour as like an alternate. Jessica McKenna and I had both been brought. She's my writing partner. Also, I need to shout out Skyjammer real quick before I forget. That's another musical team that I'm on. Skyjammer. But we had been brought and that out to Edinburgh to do that show. And Baby Wants Candy has been a musical improv team for like over 10 years in some iteration. And it shows when you watch some of the people that have been there for a long time do that show. That's also an insane place to do musical improv because it's like you're in Edinburgh, Scotland. It's a 300-seat theater in front of people who are not an improv crowd. They've just come to see a show. And improv also doesn't have its roots as deep in Europe yet, so it still is kind of mind-blowing to them in a way that it might not be to us. And I remember seeing the first show and being like, I need to learn how to do this before I leave because it's like blowing me away.
Yeah. I think aside from seeing all you guys, you guys are all amazing. But to be honest, I know this is a UCB podcast, but the group that really blew me away the first time that I saw them as far as musical improv was the Black Version at the Groundlings. Mm-hmm. I'm fighting a illness, but the Black Version was, I went and saw them, and it's Gary Anthony Williams, Cedric Yarborough, Jordan Black, and they always have a special guest. And there was a show that I saw they did with Maya Rudolph, and it just, my head exploded because it's not just sort of, at the Groundlings they have, they do sort of short form and they do like a long form set, and they have like sort of all these different elements to their show. But they did this show where it's like, okay, they take their suggestions, like, okay, well, what movie are we going to do the Black Version of? And so somebody said Annie, and they did the Black Version of Annie. And
Groundlings has an accompanist there, whether it's a musical show or not.
They do.
Do they just like on the fly, like start playing Annie songs?
So what they did, they sort of have like an ear for it, and they have, they have almost like a little mini band. They have like a guy on the guitar and drums and the keyboard. And so they ended up doing this version of Annie that took place in Oakland. And like Daddy Warbucks was in Oakland, and they drove up to Oakland, and they like ghost rode the whip on the way up to Oakland. And it just was like, to me, I just, my mind exploded because just to see an improv show do that, and they were all such like just fiercely bold performers and talk about like confidence and like owning what they were doing. And they were like rapping, they were singing. And to me, I was like, this is the most impressive thing that I've ever seen anywhere, despite school or allegiance or anything. It's just that's just good comedy.
Mm-hmm. You're making me think of Improvised Shakespeare, which I'm sure you guys have seen at the Largo, which is not a musical show, but it feels very musical rap because of the iambic pentameter and everything. And when I first saw that show, which was recently, actually, I just hadn't seen it yet and been meaning to, it blew my mind. Like, I just stood there the whole time, like the way Giovanni, you had your jaw dropped. I was just, that whole time, it was like an hour and a half, and I like held my pee. I didn't check my phone. I didn't even want to. I just was so focused on that moment, and I'm scatterbrained, so that's a rare moment for me, and I really like hold on to that. I'm like, wow, something just like held my focus, blew my mind, inspired me, excited me, all of that.
Yeah.
And that night I got food poisoning because I had Del Taco before.
Oh, no.
So don't do that, but go see the show.
Yeah.
No Del Taco. You got to go to El Pollo Loco, which I think is just like just step above, right?
Also, I ordered the shrimp taco. So obviously, why? It was like my first fast food taco and I went for shrimp.
Oh, man.
Lessons learned.
You live and you learn. So as far as like musical improv, I know like for me, I noticed that there is sort of, it gets kind of pigeonholed sometimes at particular theaters. And so I guess for people that do it a lot, like you guys are on multiple teams, like where do you see it going, and why do you think maybe it hasn't like sort of found as strong of a place or regular of a place at UCB or, you know, any of the other theaters, and where do you sort of see it going?
I feel like it's currently like blowing up, like where, like even just hearing Shilpa say the musical improv community earlier in this conversation, was like, is there a community? Like there's starting to be one. Like there are so many indie teams now. I think that like shows like Coconut Club, where they provide the accompanist and like let teams try musical for the first time, have been really helpful. Adele Dazeem also produces a show where they have a non-musical team come and perform. And I feel like there are so many more musical classes at UCB, and I feel like it's like growing a ton right now. Where I feel like there were like maybe like even 2 years ago, maybe there were like four teams, and now I would say there are probably like 18.
Mm-hmm. And then with the addition of the musical mess hall team,
yes,
so that sort of gives people something to work towards and take the classes and builds that part of the community. Hopefully that's coming back. Because I think right now they didn't have one, but
yeah.
I think with
I believe the plan is that it is coming back.
Great, because the teams were great that formed out of that. And I think part of it also is like the accessibility to people to take the classes. Right now there's only a couple classes, but they sell out. And, you know, I've taken the first one and it was awesome. So I think like just as that part of the, as the academic part of the, program
sure.
starts building out, then more people will be taking classes and more people will catch the bug,
yeah.
you know, and be like, I want to do this more. And everyone I've taken classes with has, not everyone, but almost everyone has like formed some kind of team, or they want to keep doing it. And then there's people like Coconut Club is formed by Ryan Koontz. Mm-hmm. And he's also just started like a 1607 weekly musical show at the clubhouse, which is going through some new iterations, and hopefully we'll launch in the new year in a different format. But yeah, there's people who are trying to just specifically grow the musical improv community. And now there's several shows that are in various theaters. In the Clubhouse and the Inner Sanctum has shows that are just straight up devoted to musical improv, whether they be involving groups that never tried it. Kaboom Box hosts a show at Nerdist and Inner Sanctum that's musical with musical teams. So there's now like that part of the community where musical teams have regular spots to do their indie sets. So yeah, I think we're on a good growth pattern. Hopefully like the class part of the curriculum is built out more to encourage that.
I think a huge thing so far has been that like it's a hard art form to try. I mean, it's already so niche, like it's like improv is already, is even though it's like this is a world we live in, we're surrounded by it, like it is such a small, like it's a small interest group in the grand scope of art. And even comedy, in a lot of ways. And like musical improv is, it's hard to try if you just want to try it. Like you would have to find an accompanist, pay that accompanist. Like you have to get other people together, because you can't just like, oh, this is a thing I want to try. And like, just like I mean, I don't know of any like one-time walk-in classes, and it's very expensive. And like improv in Los Angeles and probably in most other places as well is already expensive. Getting mm-hmm. through classes, like paying for coaches, and then like to have a musical team and you're paying for both a coach and an accompanist is like, it's daunting financially. So
sure.
the shows yeah. that like the shows that make it more accessible, I think, have been huge for people. Just even like for me, it was like, you know, I tried it once and then it was like, OK, I know this is something that I like, but I had to be able to do it. And so I think that like for a lot of people that opportunity doesn't happen. But now they're getting like more and more chances to try it for free.
Hey, improv fans, if the suggestion for your next show is beer, maybe initiate your scene with something like, check it out, they've got Bronx beer on tap at this bar. It's the start of a great scene, and ordering a Bronx is a great way to start any night out. And Bronx is now the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. Visit thebronxbrewery.com for more information, and be sure to make your next pint a Bronx. And scene.
But you do bring up an interesting point, because you have to be much more intentional when doing mm-hmm. musical improv as far as rehearsing and getting someone to be an accompanist. And it is a lot more expensive on top of just sort of the price of doing improv, which already is it's elitist, guys. It's not elitist, but it's...
It for sure is.
Yeah. I mean, it's
elitist in that, like, if you want to have the disposable income to take some of your time and do, like, make-em-ups in someone's girl, like, that is a certain level of I mean, it's why the improv community is largely very, very white. And it's, I mean, there's, you know, changes are being made and steps are being made. But musical improv, like, doubly so. Because, like you said, let's say in Los Angeles right now, it's like, for most coaches, it's $60 for 2 hours. Accompanists are about the same. And they should be, because there are less people that can do what they do than there are improv coaches. It's very tricky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, also it's, there are teams that have been around for a long time, but I think the reason it's maybe, you said like pigeonholed earlier, is it is still pretty new, and we're not, those of us that teach it are still like very much figuring out what the best way to do it is. Tara Copeland's musical 101 curriculum is totally different than Eliza Skinner's 101 curriculum. Mm. And they're both really good, but it's like every teacher kind of has their own style. I do too. And it's kind of in like the early stages. And that makes sense, because like when the UCB was put together, like musical improv was not on the map as like, not that they didn't like it, it just wasn't something they were setting out to do. It's a different thing. And I think it does also get a bad name from its association largely with short form and the fact that improvisers are – musical improvisers, on the whole, tend to have a theatrical background more frequently than non-musical improvisers do. I think that if you ask like a room of like 20 improvisers, how many of you like studied theater at one point in time, it would be less than if you asked 20 musical improvisers. And it's just a whole nother skill set that you need to be proficient in on top of improv, which means that like in its early, early stages, it's more likely to be bad, because you have to be really good at a lot of things, and it's scary, and it's like a lot of skills. UCB requires, I think, 201 to take the first musical improv class, which I like as an access point. However, I will argue that really, if you're like you're really interested in doing musical improv, please, please, please spend more time on the improv, because the musical stuff is like. That is the stuff that I can teach you quickly. Like, if you know how to sing, or even if you don't know how to sing, like, get voice lessons. It's like a separate thing. But the improv is what will make you a fantastic musical improviser.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much you can do with your instrument. But
Do you think that long form, like, narrative musical shows are better embraced by the community than musical montages?
No. They're just different. UCB specifically does not teach a lot of narrative-based stuff. So it makes sense to me that most of the improv groups that come out of UCB are not narrative-based, because we're game-based, so we play a game. Baby Wants Candy is not a UCB team, is a narrative-based show, and I think played game in its early days like kind of by accident. Because that was what they liked to do. So they would spend a lot of their show doing like, we just like bits is what they, so let's just do like a lot of bits. And it was game. They were calling it something else. But they do focus on different things. I feel like narrative is tricky, because UCB is correct when they are saying that, like, plot should not be the focus of an improv scene generally, because people don't care. And that's mostly in the context of, like, a 20-minute set. We're not going to – we don't really care what happens to, like, the mom who baked too many bread. How – too many bread. That's a good sentence. The mom who baked too many bread. How she get rid of all the bread?
Is that a tongue twister?
The mom who baked too many bread. No, it is not. But narrative musical improv, like, first of all, to do it well, you need more time. You need like a 40-minute set. There's not a lot of places that will give you a 40-minute set, because that's how long it takes to really make people care about characters in like a really fulfilling way. You can do it in 20. but it's really hard. 40 is easier. So, yeah. I think particularly with teams that are like just starting out and have less time, narrative is tricky. But do it. Figure it out. Like I said, yeah. This is new. We don't know. Like, there are no books that I know of about musical improv.
But maybe somebody needs to
write.
There's
one? What
is?
There's
one. I don't remember what it's called. I think it's just called, like, musical improv or improvising musical. It's
is it
like,
good?
It's like 26 pages. It's not that good. It's 26 pages and it's also like very small.
26 pages?
It's really short.
I'm going to argue that's not a book.
I'm going to argue that's a pamphlet.
That was like coming out of short form in a city that did not have like anybody doing just musical improv. It was all that me and Marina Mastros could get our hands on in San Diego. And so we took that book and like I think we had like come up to LA and like seen Diamond Lion and like kind of had an idea of like the direction we needed to go, and we like rented a theater space and like put on these like hour long musical improv shows where we didn't know what we were doing, where we were just like trying stuff out like based on this little 26 page book that came with a CD of accompaniment.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
How was it? Was it good?
People loved it. I mean, it's like,
sorry, not the show, the book.
The book.
You guys are both great. I was going to say, like, it is a credit to the book because you and Marina both became like really fantastic musical improvisers.
The book is like there was a lot of it that's like very simple. Like, this is like, it was stuff about like song structure, and it was kind of just like making sure that you notice things about music that you can carry over into improv.
Yeah.
Like choruses and like button songs and like, you know, like how to like take a theme and try to like make metaphors and stuff like that. And so it was like, yeah, like that. I mean, I don't know how much more we could have done with a longer book anyway.
Yeah.
So we went off of that and like it like was really fun. It was very fun.
That's
so
great.
Thank you, book I don't remember the name of.
Yeah, you can find it somewhere. Or, I don't know, maybe like somebody needs to write a book about musical improv.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe the world is asking
Zach and
for
Jess, make that money.
Yeah,
all you have to do is make it 30 pages and you're already
we'll have the longest book ever written on musical. I have been thinking about it.
You'll be like, yeah, the Russian novel of musical improv books. 30 pages. So you mentioned something interesting, Zach, where you said the need to sort of be like a stronger improviser before going into musical improv. How would you say that doing musical improv has sort of like maybe improved your improvising on the other end? Do you feel like maybe it's sort of taught you ways, or do you think of things that you've done in musical improv when you're just doing straight improv? Yeah, because for me, like it definitely changed the way that I sort of play in general.
And yeah,
I'm just wondering if that's the same case with you guys.
It was for me. I mean, yes, I would say that it has made me a more committed improviser, and I think that where a lot of improv falls apart is from lack of commitment, where people are not. And I'm not even talking about necessarily like a grounded reality. I'm talking about emotional commitment to the stakes of what is going on. Songs by their nature are emotionally heightened when they're good, in some way or another. Be that like, if you're doing like an angry song, you have to like pedal to the floor, be angry. And we can cop out of that in a scene just by any number of mechanisms that improvisers cop out of things. And musical improv does not allow you to do that unless you want to feel like the music is leaving you behind. And you'll notice, and you'll feel it. There'll be a disconnect between you and the song that you're doing. Which is something that I learned by watching a lot of improvisers who were not from UCB. Because a criticism that UCB gets sometimes, and I think rightfully so, is that it is heady. And that is both true and not true. I think it is true in that UCB does a good job of breaking down like the rules behind improv and teaching people kind of like the steps.
Yeah, like a codified way to approach improv.
Yes, and what is also taught is that you have to emotionally commit to those things, but because we get so deep into the weeds, that's not necessarily something we focus on. We don't spend half of a 401 class being like, act harder. We talk about like game moves and all of that stuff. But theaters that should focus more on game and don't, instead focus on commitment. Sometimes they call it like character work. All of which is to say like the acting element of it. And the best improvisers at UCB also do that. Mm-hmm. I think that. I'm not trying to drag UCB here. I think that they're fantastic, and I would not like my training to have happened anywhere else. I love it. But I think that we do focus on the cerebral elements, and we could maybe, one of the things that musical improv does well is stress the commitment and like the acting side of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like when I started to do musical improv, when I took, because I did Tara's classes and, you know, just sort of doing indie teams and stuff. There's something about like infusing it with music. To me, like it sort of activates the better parts of, I guess, what I do as a performer, which is like more physical and yeah, like it definitely pushed me to be more committed for sure. And I would 100% agree with that emotionally. But also like physically, you're just sort of like, okay, I'm in a song now, but you can translate that to not doing music and not singing, because really it's the same thing. You're just sort of singing about how you feel as opposed to like sort of showing it in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes musical improv will like force you to dance. And as a result, there are way less talking head scenes in musical improv scenes.
Yeah.
Now choreography is like its own another beast to like layer on top of that. But I recently saw Shilpa do a set at the Clubhouse that was fantastic with Kaboom Box. Giovanni also did a set with Adela Dazeem that night, I believe. Or if not, it was a very similar show.
Adela Dazeem was there, but I think you weren't there that day.
You played with two teams on the night that I'm thinking of.
I think it was GarageBand.
Oh.
Okay. It was probably GarageBand if you were there.
I saw you perform with two teams the same night, and I also saw you perform. Anyway, both of those teams did sets where, like, the stage pictures were all over the place in a good way. It was, like, a dynamic stage picture. And that's another thing that I feel like we could all do more of in our non-musical improv, is just, like, defining our space through physical stuff. And we don't, because we're like so focused on like, well, what's the right game move mm-hmm. to make?
I have found that through musical improv, I feel more freedom as a performer, because going through the long-form UCB program, I was very like always straight man. I still do that, so, you know, work in progress. But, you know, I always just funnel everything through me. And when you're in a musical set and you're playing this crazy character and there's music and you're singing, and it's so much easier for me to act in that vehicle. And I'm not sure exactly why. I think it does have to do with the music and my ease and being a different character. It's almost like when you put a costume on, you know how that changes like a performance in a certain way. So music for me also does that. It adds that extra layer where I feel like it's really transforming and coloring this character. So even if my intention wasn't to come into a scene a certain way, the music starts to play and all of a sudden I know exactly who I am, and I'm no longer funneling everything through Shilpa straight man funnel. It's this other character. And so I think that's why musical improv feels so good, because you really can transport in a different way. And UCB long form, It does get very heady, especially if you're taking all these classes and you're in all these groups and you're getting all these notes and you're trying so hard, that musical improv for me didn't feel like that.
Yeah, that freedom feeling like really resonates with me. And I hope that like with the popularization of musical improv, that there will be like some sort of subsect that grows out that has to do with improvised dance, because part is one of my very, very favorite parts. It's like there was a moment when Baby Wants Candy was in Scotland, and like, oh, this, the stage that we had was just like, it really like opened up my friggin' world in terms of choreography, because we had like, I don't know how big it was, the riser thing, cube.
So picture like kind of, I want to say like a 3-foot tall maybe like 4x4 block that's just in the middle of the stage. It's just another level.
It's just another level with like little, just like three stairs leading up to it. But there was like, there was a song happening, some like romantic scene, two characters. I was not a part of the scene. And you know, there's like a lot of musical improv is the backline support. And I've just always been like very anti like step touch stuff. Like if it's not adding to the story or like, you know, if your backline choreography is not like somehow exemplifying like ideas within the song, then like I would rather people stayed off. But I was like, I could get on that riser. I could get on that cube and just do like a balletic interpretive dance by myself and like, and just kind of like, it just kind of just exemplify like love. And like, so I just like, just dance. Like I just dance. And it wasn't like, that was the first and like only time because of the way that that stage is set up. Like, cause you can't, it's kind of odd to like go out and do a thing by yourself. It looks strange. But like in that particular like scenario scene like set up, like I could just express the song through dance only, and it was like, oh, it really just like, man, I'm doing improv right now, like this is a different level, this is a different kind of improv than I've ever done before.
Give it like one more year. I feel like there'll be a bunch of like musical dance
teams
as well that also like rehearse that.
Oh, I hope so.
That'd be insane in a very good way.
It's just like that. It's just like another skill set to pile on top of it. And there are some people who are great at it. Giovanni's great at it. Oscar Montoya is great at it.
Oscar Montoya.
Yeah. Man, but it's weird because you start to get into a category like there. It's different. Like there are people who are fantastic improvisers who that's just not the kind of show that they can do, and that's fine. But, like, the UCB 4 didn't put together a theater to make that kind of show. And that's okay. But, like, that is where musical improv is headed right now. And so those are the skills that if you want to compete in, like, the musical improv world live will be required. Like, you won't be able to just stand on stage and do, like, a talking heads song. It's not enough to just sing.
Sure.
And Shilpa was saying that, like, some of her favorite musical improvisers aren't great singers. And, like, that is true. There are some people that, like, really do fantastic scene work. But they also all, even if they don't have, like, naturally fantastic voices, they are trying to sing their best. They may, like, we all have whatever instrument that we have. Like, I don't have a Broadway voice, but I'm going to use mine 100% if I'm doing a show. Yeah.
That almost makes it more real, you know, like in the scene, if you're watching, you know, a guy in a scene sing about something and, you know, it's not like sonically the best thing you ever heard, but it's committed, you know, you still experience that the same way you would a musical on Broadway, you know.
I will say, though, if you see a show that has like five people that are badass singers and all of a sudden they're doing another thing on top of that, which is like there's now four part harmony going on in this song, like it's just a different thing. It's own little zone. And it is a pet peeve of mine, and I see this particularly with dudes, because the ladies on the whole are pretty good about, like, if they can sing, like, they sing out. But I think ladies in general are more likely to have gotten to this point in their life, like, singing a little bit more, and guys are less likely to have had practice singing. So sometimes they're like, well, I want to do musical improv, but I don't really want to sing. I don't want to really sing. I'm like, no, you have to really sing, even if you don't know how. You have to really try. You can't phone in the music half of the musical improv.
I have a weird thing where I don't like when people have really good voices. like I would rather hear somebody that's like okay, this person has definitely been focused on comedy. I don't know. Like there's just something that like turns me off toward really good voices, which is something that like I brought into musical improv with me as I was starting, and like I have musical training, and I just wouldn't sing. And like Zach called me out and was like, "Do you mind? You have a good voice." Like, I kept trying to like, I don't know. I just like didn't want to.
Because you probably want the improv to be the best
like,
part
I was
of
like,
it.
No, this is about like, this is about being funny though. Like,
yeah. Not,
but like you can do.
Yeah.
I 100% get that. And I think that that's right. Because you also don't want to do the other thing, which is like, I'm rhyming and I'm singing like great, but there's no jokes.
Yeah.
Because jokes should be top of the priority
yeah,
list. That is true.
That I think equally, I think I get sort of a little bit turned off when it's just not funny.
Yeah.
It has to be funny.
Yeah.
Priority because, one is it has to be funny.
For sure. Because, you know, I mean, I think a good example of that is, you know, someone like, you know, Liza Skinner or, you know, like I remember early on watching like Jess McKenna do musical improv and there's like a way that they sort of make it seem so easy that they're sort of like landing all these jokes, but then they sound so good. And it's deceiving because they do make it seem a lot more easy than it is. But yeah, I think like ultimately, like, yeah, people are going to a comedy show and we want to laugh, you know, and you can make people laugh and sort of hit punchlines through singing or dancing. Like you could make someone dance. I feel like a dance move could be a punchline.
Absolutely.
It is. The dance that Giovanni is talking about, people were laughing through the entirety of the thing. I also remember one moment when she was like Jesus on the cross and like a bunch of people. There was a lot of dancing that gets a lot of laughs.
Sure.
I found that book. Sorry.
Yeah, what's that book called?
It's called Musical Improv Comedy, Creating Songs in the Moment.
Okay.
Yes.
Who's the author?
Michael Pollack.
Okay, Michael. Shout out.
Shout out, Pollack.
Shout out.
I was going to say, I think that's one of the best things about musical improv. We're seeing it go in all these different directions. There's like the classic narrative, big famous groups that we all go and watch. Then there's also like two-person teams and Zach and Jess and Oscar Montoya and Desiree Nash that had a group in New York. I saw them do a set and it was just crazy what the two of them could accomplish because they were like had such a vibe going.
Gemini.
Then there's rap groups. There's people dancing. And so now we're seeing like all these different like branches growing out of this and it's amazing. It's exciting. Yeah, it's a really cool time for musical improv, I think.
I would say maybe the unifying thing of it all, though, is that it tends to be a more theatrical, quote unquote, experience than like your average improv show. Not all. Like there are some groups like Shitty Jobs, I remember, you like have like weirdly physically explosive shows. But most teams, I would argue, are not like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get away with more, I would say, with musical improv. Like, for example, people that don't watch improv, I brought family members and everything. If they come to a regular improv show of mine, they're like, okay, yeah, like, I'm not really sure what you did or like that was interesting. Like, I don't know if I liked it that much. But then if they come to a musical show, whether they fully understand it or not, like music pleases people from babies to adults, you know. So when people come to a musical show, like my mom will come and she'll be like, yeah, it was kind of crazy. But like, oh, it was fun. Like people have more fun, I think, in general watching musical just because the nature of what music brings to anything.
Sure. Yeah. And I just saw Coco last night, so
yes,
that's like landing in the morning.
Is that movie improvised?
It is. It's a fully improvised animated film.
Like every time, it's improvised. It's different.
Improvised CG is just coming up.
All of these Pixar movies, they're just improvised. These movies,
yeah.
I'm excited to see more like serious musical improv.
Me too.
Which I haven't seen much of, and I only tried it once with Ryan Koontz, but it was so weird and like amazing in the sense of like. It was different to funnel it all through not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
You know, because we're always looking for game and stuff like that. You can still do that without, like, running after, like, jokes. And we ended up doing a set that was, like, really sad. Like, it made me sad. It was, like, this couple that lost their child. Like, it was as sad as you could make a set.
Whoa.
But it explored, like, a whole different part of the combination between, like, the improv and music and, you know, how the game is funneled through the song and that whole world. So I'm excited to see like all these other new things that are going to come out.
So either make people laugh or cry.
Or both. Yeah. Or both, though. Because I feel like that is something that narrative can do that a montage cannot. Mm. Like when you get invested in people, you can take them from laughs to being... Like, we've had shows in Edinburgh where, like, we'll kill off a character and the audience will audibly gasp. That just does not happen in a montage because they're gone. They've been alive and dead in 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But if you live with them for, like, you know, half an hour and then they get killed off at the end, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. So if there's a one sort of piece of advice that you guys would give a fledgling musical improviser in like one sentence? Like, what would you guys drop? I know you guys have a lot of knowledge to drop, but just sort of like, what would you?
Do you want us to drop it in bars?
Yeah, it's got to rhyme and it's got to be funny, but also like emotionally, like.
But if it doesn't rhyme, just be confident. I mean, just off the top of my head, I think like watch a lot of shows, go to shows, because that's helped me a lot, and practice, form a group, and get a great coach, and keep on doing it.
Yeah, a good coach like Zach.
Get a coach like Zach.
I'm very good. I'm not taking any more groups. I'm done. No, thank you. That's very kind. I would say everyone, if you're like, oh, okay. Everyone, like, people get scared about the rhyming part of it. Don't get scared of the rhyming part of it. Everyone knows how to rhyme. Like, you know words that rhyme. This is going to, everyone in the room has heard me say this at one point, but if I put you in, like, the corner with a pad of paper and a pencil and was like, write down 10 words that rhyme with tree, you can do it. It's being on stage and doing it like with a clock ticking down on you that is the part that gets hard. And one thing that musical improv should just teach you is just like bravery, whether you know what you're doing or not. Yeah. And rhyming is one of those things, whether it's rap or musical, that will click when you get out of your own way. And it's why people under hypnosis can freestyle so well. Like, I've seen, like, it's regardless of what you believe about like hypnosis, whether it's bullshit or not, like you see people become uninhibited and be able to do like freestyle rap, and it's because you know how to rhyme. It's just fear that's getting in your way. And that is true of all of musical improv. The thing that you can do overnight to make yourself a better performer is just fake it so hard, even if you don't know what you're doing, because the audience has no idea. They're just impressed that you're singing.
There's probably a ton of people with musical improv experience just from like drunk singing and making up songs, or like drunk rapping.
Yeah.
Like, that was my first foray, like in college or whatever, you know. It's basically like what you're doing, but you're being much more free about it.
Yeah, definitely. You know?
But don't get drunk and do it. That's not my advice.
Yeah.
I would say like just swing hard, fail big. It's musical improv is scary, and like people can get really bummed about their performances oftentimes because there's just so many places where you can feel like you fell short because there's so many skill sets that you have to put into play. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, you know, if you know that going in, and it's like, okay, that's okay. This is just something that I'm going to, this is a piece that I'm going to work on, and right. I'm just going to keep on going real hard all the time. Then it'll stay fun.
Yeah. Yeah. The best teams have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can find ways to do it for free. I got a group of friends together, and we study different rappers every week, and we come in with songs in the style of that rapper, and then we freestyle in the style of that rapper. And we just do rap exercises together every week, and that is free.
Yeah. And if you want to do it alone, Run the Jewels has an entire album of just their instrumentals, and it's on Spotify. Okay. Just put it on in your car. Just freestyle all alone where no one can hear you mess up.
Yeah.
And those beats are hard.
They're hard. You can always go slow.
Yeah. MF Doom has good like slow beats too.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Giovanni, about like sort of like studying rappers and music and stuff. Because I would say, like, if I were to give a piece of advice, I would say like approach it not like ironically, like really get into the music. And if you're going to do musical improv, like watch musicals, you know, like just get into the genre of what you're doing instead of sort of doing it of you know, sort of in a non-committed way. If you're going to do rap improv, know rap and love it and just really dive into it and do it from a place of like love and admiration. And that'll really translate, I think, to the audience. Real quick, I think we have time, you know, maybe to plug something. If you guys have like a show coming up or like a web series or like a book coming out, that's going to be longer than the 26 pager.
You gotta look out for my 27 page book.
It's 27 pages now?
Yeah, well, I realized I only had to top it by one page. Okay. Why am I writing 3 pages I don't have to write?
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, check out Off Book, the improvised musical. It's a podcast. It's free. It's on Earwolf. It's with me and my writing partner, Jessica McKenna, who is fantastic. And we have a lot of fun guests. And you can hear improvisers who are not musical do it. You can hear improvisers who are musical do it. You can hear Broadway performers who are not improvisers do it. Yeah, it's a fun party over there. We'd love to have you.
And if you want to check out Musical Improv Show, Kaboom Box hosts a show with the Nerdists on the first Friday of the month at 9 p.m. And it's two musical teams followed by a jam that everyone's welcome to participate in. It is $5, unless you're a Nerdist student, I think. And then the second Fridays, we're at the Inner Sanctum at 8 p.m., and that's a rap battle show. And there's two teams, and then there's a rap battle at the end, and someone from the audience joins in the rap battle. So it's another opportunity to get up on there, and that's free.
Great.
Yeah, you can check out the UCB schedule online for shows with Baby Wants Candy and Shamilton.
I forgot Shamilton.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Shamilton.
Improvised Hamilton show. It's really, really fun. And also Adele Dazeem's show in the Inner Sanctum. I have a really fun show on the 16th of December. Will this come out before then?
Monday.
Okay, great. It's Damiana's show. She's a drag queen at UCB, and I'm the band leader, and I just improvise the songs throughout the talk show. And it's I mean, they're short songs, but it is just the most fun. And that's like a good, like queer themed, like super fun show.
Cool.
Can I say one more thing? Sorry, I forgot. Just because I'll kick myself if I don't say this before we go. The next time we have a musical improv conversation, we should really get an accompanist in here to talk about that too. Because what they do is like truly like another member of the team. And like you said, like style informs someone's performance so much. They have like all sorts of tricks. And they're all figuring it out because they all basically taught themselves how to do it.
Yeah.
So they all have kind of their own.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. That's good. And then, just real quick, Dopetown 3000, my rap and improv group, we have a show on the 28th at UCB Franklin. We have a dope ass group that we're going to allow in Dopetown to form a neighborhood. Cool Asians 420.
Yeah.
Cool Asian 420, I think is what it is. They're great. And then we're going to be doing the SF Sketch Fest on the 25th and 26th at the Piano Fight. You check us out, and also we're a fictional rap group online called AK-48. You can check that out. AK-48
so
next
many
level.
Layers.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You're a real rap group.
Yeah, well, we're real, but then these guys are like a fictional rap group from Madison, Wisconsin. They're the biggest rap crew of Madison, Wisconsin. AK-48 next level online.
Next level.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. And thanks for dropping those just gems. And you guys are all just dope. Thanks.
Meow, meow, meow.
Yay.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.
Thanks to the Bronx Brewery, the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network, for their support. Visit thebronxbrewery.com for more information on all their craft beer. And be sure to make your next pint a Bronx.